Are we ready to change? Spiritually. From the Word of God, in the New Testament, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 14, beginning in verse 32. And they came to a place which was named Gethsemane. And he saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here, while I shall pray. And he taketh with him Peter and James and John, began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy. And he saith unto them, My soul is exceedingly sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. It was a year ago today that we read those same words in this sanctuary. And I like to revisit this passage because I believe that even when you're at the end, it's not the end. Amen. See, the world wants to condemn. The world wants things to be dark and lonely for you and I. Now Satan set it up. But there's always hope. There's always a way, and there's always change. Jesus is experiencing this in his life right here in this place called Gethsemane. After their Passover meal, Jesus and their disciples came to this place. In fact, it's called the place in the other Gospels, Gethsemane. John calls it a garden, but it's a press, an olive press. Gath in Hebrew is olive, and semene is press, olive press. And Jesus is coming here to literally have the entire world's sin pressed upon him and the agony that awaits him. It was a place often visited by Jesus and his men. It was a place where he could find solitude. It was a place he could find private moment to commune with God and to pray. It was a place of refreshment from his long days of ministry. And there's a lot of times where we get refreshed. And I love refreshment time. I love going to the park with my wife or to the beach with the kids and just have a time of relaxing. I also like when we go to our pastor meetings and get refreshed from not only the meals that they feed us, but from the meals from the Word of God that they feed us, the refreshment that comes from hearing preaching and teaching from God's Word. And Jesus had this as well. But often, in those times of comfort, there's this ticking in the back of our head. There's this subconscious clock that's just something's coming. Water heater's going to go out. Car's going to break. The doctor's appointment's coming up. And that comfort is quickly and rapidly going to be displaced. And it's something that's just constantly ticking. And I want to give you this morning that that ticking, that anxiety that's within us, doesn't have to be. I want to show you that even though our Lord Jesus Christ went through the most agonizing death a human could go through, what he did for you and me was glorious, was amazing. and allows us to be here today under grace. And it's this comfort that he has resting in the garden, that he has in praying when he comes here, is all about to change. This life, when you got it made, it's all about to change because of this press, this pressure, this thing that weighs upon us. Now, there's something special about this night. This is the night of watching. This particular night is the Passover night. This is when God told the children of Israel, while they were in Egypt, remember they were slaves in Egypt, God told Moses, go tell your people that tonight will be the night that I pass through the land. And every door and lintel that doesn't have blood on it from a lamb that you're going to slay, a lamb without spot, by the way, a lamb without blemish, a lamb that you've set aside for this purpose, because this little lamb is going to be your salvation from slavery. This little lamb is going to be your literal ticket to get out of the hell you're in and into the promised land. That's what the lamb is about. And you need to take special care of this lamb until the night of watching. You need to sacrifice the lamb. There's a lot of things that had to be done with lamb, the special preparation, the roasting of it and the eating of it, the people in the household. But most specifically was to take that blood of the lamb with a stick and put it upon the lintel of your house so that when God passes over and he sends what the King James calls the destroyer, what we would commonly call the angel of death, when he sends the destroyer through the camp of the Egyptians, and by the way, went throughout the entire land, that when he sees the blood on your lintel, on your doorpost, God will pass by. And why does God need to pass by? Because there's judgment. There's wrath for what the Egyptians have done to the Israelites. There's blood that's been spilt, and there needs to be a recompense. There needs to be a judgment because God's a just God. God's a righteous God. And so God sends the destroyer through the camp. And of course, every firstborn child of the Egyptians dies that night. You could hear the weeping and the wailing as the Israelites watched. No one slept. No one got ready for bed. They wore their clothes and had their shoes on throughout the entire night because this is the night of watching. You notice the parallel with the verses we just read with Jesus, don't you? Remember, Jesus said, can't you just watch? Can't you just stay with me just a little while? The destroyer is coming. Blood needs to be spilt. Can't you just watch? The disciples didn't realize, did they, that this was the night of watching. This was the night of salvation. Jesus is the lamb to take the place of those inside. The deliverance of Israel and the bondage of slavery of Egypt is to remember it and be told to every son and daughter. And this is the story that we tell tonight, not of the Passover to save us, but of the Lord Jesus Christ to save us. Because he is the lamb. He is the lamb that was slain for our sins. The Bible is unlike any other book. In fact, it's not just a book. It's a book of books of any written chronicle in our history of mankind. The things of the past, the physical things, represent spiritual things. And the physical thing that happened to the Israelites is the spiritual significance of what Jesus has done for us and for all of eternity. And over and over and over again, the Bible's like that. It's full of stories like that. I hope you grow to love it as much as I do. When the walls of Jericho fall down, that's not just literal walls of Jericho falling down, which it was, but it represents those walls that you and I build. Those walls of war that you can't overcome. Those walls that of suffering and those walls of whether it be sickness or sin, whatever that wall is in your life that you can't get over. So how am I going to defeat it? How am I going to get over it? How am I going to win? There is no winning with Jericho. I don't know if you knew that or not. There's no winning. You can't beat those people. But God can. All they had to do was walk around. Didn't have to do anything to defeat the walls of Jericho. What do you got to do to defeat your wall? I hope it's dependent on the Lord. Isn't that great? The physical representation of what happened is a literal manifestation of your life of what could happen. And so it's no different here with Jesus. He is the literal representation of the Passover. Jesus went out to pray with Peter, James, and John. Something horrible overcame him. The scriptures say sore, amazed, very heavy, deeply distressed, troubled. Shocking, sudden awareness. The words don't translate to English very well. The best we can do is sheer terror. Jesus is shocked, terrified, falls to the ground immediately. You can see and feel the press, the pressure, the weight, the burden of all the world's sins descending and coming upon him. My sin, your sin. Jesus is God's son. So he's a divine nature, knows all things. That's right. He's also man. And he says this, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful unto death. It's almost that he literally could have died right here, right then. It's too much for me to, I can't explain it. I can only read it to you. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. Amen. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Amen. The Lord laid on him. Here comes our sin. Here comes my sin. Here comes my iniquity. Here comes my trespass. Here comes the debt that I cannot possibly repay any way, shape, or form. And it's coming upon him at this moment, at this time, because this is the hour, the literal hour, the literal time when the Lamb's going to be slain, when the Lamb's going to be placed on the mantle, on the door sill, when the Lamb's going to be placed on the cross. Blood's going to flow for you and for me. The Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all. The Lamb becomes sin. Jeremiah tells us, the prophet, Jesus says, Father, if this be possible, take this cup away. We have a little bit of a sense of why he would say that, because Jeremiah says, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, said to me. Take from my hand this cup filled with the wine of my wrath, and make all the nations to whom I send you drink it. They will drink, stagger, and go mad because of the sword that I will send among them. So I took the cup from the Lord's hand, and made all the nations to whom he had sent me drink from it. This is the cup Jesus is talking about, to drink from the very wrath of God, to destroy them, to make them an object of horror and derision. And this is what really shakes us to our core, to make them a curse. Everyone who is hung on a tree is a curse. It's the cup of God's damnation. It's literally the destroyer coming by, because once the judgment is given, once the verdict is settled, there is no getting out of it. There is no recourse for us. The wages of sin is death. God poured it out on Egypt and on those who curse his name. Here it is, God's own son, Jesus, becomes a curse. Jesus has to wrestle with what's in this cup, the wrath of God, the judgment supposed to give him, that's supposed to be given to unrighteous people, but it's given to him. This is what the picture here is for us for this lamb. And it's really amazing. We've been studying through through Leviticus in our Sunday night time and the Ten Commandments. So you and I cannot get to heaven by obeying the Ten Commandments, because literally the Ten Commandments show us that we're bruised. It shows us that we're flawed. It shows us that we have spots. See, we're all little lambs. We all have a problem. We're not fit enough for the sacrifice. We're not fit enough because we have problems. We have issues. All of us do. So I don't have any issues, Pastor. I always like to break out my glasses. See, you got issues. You got health issues. In fact, I can name one here. Just see if you resonate with them. Health issues. Yep, that's most of us in here. Family issues. Anybody got a perfect family? Everybody loves everybody. Nobody fights. Everybody gets along, even with Uncle Albert that hates everybody's guts. Yeah, we got family issues. I don't know if you have an Uncle Albert or not. I was just making that up. Work issues. Everybody great with work. Those of you that are working. Retired issues. You got to find out how to reinvent yourself. What do I do now that I don't work? But we all got work problems. See, we're all bruised. We all got spot. We all got sin. We all got issues. Here's the unique thing. Jesus is the healer. Jesus is the one who walks on water. I don't have any bread, Jesus. Okay, here we go. Got 5 loaves, 2 fishes. You got enough to feed 5,000. See, Jesus overcomes the mistakes. He overcomes the sin. You're a Samaritan woman. Nobody talks to you. You're a woman. You're bad. You're close to a prostitute at this point. Okay, there's still salvation for you. What's your name? You must be a prophet, sir, is what she said. I want to tell my entire... Not only did that woman who was dejected from society, saved by the Lord, she saved her entire village. That's how God used her. She wasn't done. She wasn't unusable because she accepted the Lord. The Lord now is the Lamb that's, here it is, he's without blemish, he's without spot, he committed no sin while he was here on earth, he's the Lamb that's perfect for the sacrifice, but yet Isaiah tells us, and our eyewitness account of Jesus from John and Mary and those around say that the lamb was horribly bruised. Horribly. The lamb that was not bruised, that was not spot, has spot now. Beaten. Beard ripped out. Cat of nine tails on his back and on his body. Crucified. For you and me. So now the lamb has bruises. Now the lamb has spots. And it dawns on me. Why is that? You wouldn't. They didn't sacrifice lambs that way. They didn't sacrifice the goat that way. Or the turtle. That was clean. But with Jesus, he was beaten. Because he took my sin and your sin. The physical represents the spiritual. It makes sense now. It says here, by his stripes we are healed. He was bruised for our iniquity. Remember, the Lamb doesn't have bruises. It's without spot. It's just an amazing concept that the Lord reveals this to us. Jesus says, not what I want, but you want. He drank it. He drank the cup of wrath. The price is paid on the cross. In fact, he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? He cried. And in the very next sentence, he says, it is finished. It was for me. It was for you. I know I can see him. I know if you look, you can see him too. You can see his face. You can see him on the cross. What's great about Jesus being on the cross, you say? God's wrath is gone. All of Scripture rests on this point. There is now, therefore, no condemnation to them who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. God proved his love towards us and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The wrath, the judgment, the verdict is carried out on the Lord Jesus Christ, on the Lamb. In his hour, the weight of what he has to do is going to kill him. What happens when you or I are pressed beyond measure? Jesus said, it's not my will, but your will, Lord. Jesus surrenders to the Father. Notice that. He said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. All things are possible. When life doesn't make sense, when you can't go on, when you've been crushed, when you've been pressed. And I know sometimes the weight of this world feels the same, crushing the life right out of us. I want to tell you, though, that we have hope. Because Jesus didn't stay on the cross, did he? He was taken down, his body was wrapped, prepared for burial, placed in a borrowed tomb for 3 days and 3 nights. And after that, he rose from the dead. Amen. A lot of times we say, that's great for Jesus. What does that have to do with my life? I'm telling you, the spiritual resembles the physical. And the physical resembles the spiritual. So that same spirit, the Apostle Paul says, the same spirit, which is the Holy Spirit, which is God himself, which is Jesus, the same spirit which resides in our bodies, if we've taken the Lord Jesus as our Savior, the same spirit which resides in our bodies is the same spirit that rose Jesus Christ from the dead. Amen. Same spirit. No different. Same spirit that raised Christ from the dead is the same spirit that dwells with us. This is what I love. Bear with me here. I have some olive oil. Got this from my son Austin when he went on a trip to Greece. He said this olive oil is from Greece, Dad. And I read the can. It says olive oil made in Spain. But he bought it there in Greece. We'll see here. See what happens. Got to get this thing going. Get it going. It'll make a flame. Olive oil is an amazing substance from the olive. The olive itself, not much you can do with it except put it on a salad. But when it's pressed, olive oil becomes a healing oil. The olive oil becomes cooking oil. Remember the story of the widow lady? Going to make one last cake for her and her child. They were going to die of starvation. And then a prophet came along named Elijah. Where's all the pots you got? Go get them and get all the neighbor's empty pots. Fill it up with what? Oil. Represents life. Life. Also, in the Old Testament, I can only go by what the Scripture gives us. The Old Testament, the oil represents God himself and the power of God. Every time there's something special that happens, God uses oil to anoint somebody, whether it be David to be king of Israel. Prophet Samuel anointed David to be king. Or whether it be Samson even. Samson was set aside, set apart to God, did incredible feats of strength. Those pictures of oil are throughout Scripture of God imbuing them with his Holy Spirit and having power. And as you can see, the olive, the oil, it actually gives, when it's pressed, and don't mistake what I'm saying here, when it's pressed, when it's changed from what it was to what it is, the olive is changed to the oil. You say, is that it? No. Because the oil now is being changed as we watch it into light, into heat, into power. You realize that? What we're watching here is light itself, power itself, because it was pressed. Many times we believe that what's happening to us is something negative, that what's happening to us is the end of the world, and there's no way that we can get out of it. There's no way that we can have a proper life anymore. There's no way there's happiness anymore. But I want to tell you, just according to the physical representation we're seeing here, that even after that olive's pressed, look at this. You have light. You have heat. You have power. Thank you, Paul. What does it have to do with me? This is what the Lord Jesus Christ provides to us. He was pressed beyond all measure, pressed until nothing else came out. Just like drops of blood, the scripture said. Drops of blood pressed from him. And of course, when he was on the cross, all his blood shed for you and me. So that you and I, we're not in the dark. We'll never be in the dark. We have an unlimited supply. Here it is, of Jesus' blood, of Jesus' power, which is represented by the Holy Spirit, represented by this oil. This is what we have within us. This is the power to change, the power to overcome. Well, thank you, Pastor, for the self-examination sermon. I got the power to overcome anything. No, you don't. If you say that, you missed the whole sermon. We don't have the power to. I can't be pressed. I'll be just smush. But the Lord Jesus, and his blood on your lintel, and his blood on your heart, and his forgiveness in your life. He forgave me from my sins and my mistakes and my faults and everything that makes me wrong, and I can then certainly forgive Johnny or Susie or my neighbor or my family member or my church member easily, because he gives me the power and the will and the ability to do it. That's what's amazing about Christ. That's what's amazing about the Spirit that lives within us. God's Holy Spirit has no boundaries, no walls. It's unlimited power available to you and me. All we have to do is access it. All we have to do is take the Lord into our life, into our heart, and live that life. So I'll stand for a time of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for how great you are. Lord, we have no idea what you went through. Even our imagination is pale in comparison to what your suffering was. of how you had to bear my sin. Lord, and that's just my sin. Unspeakable things. But you took it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for saving me. Lord, I pray now, as we have this invitation, that there's one here that doesn't know you, that they'll come to know you now. They'll ask you into their heart, save me, a sinner. Lord, I know there's Christians here that they're right on the verge of something great in their life, if they'll just allow you and allow your will to change them, mold them, make them to light, to love, to power. Well, I pray that those Christians will come to an old-fashioned altar, place it all on the altar, all on the line for you. Let's call this.